And we will be in the book of Ezekiel, the 38th chapter. And this is just something that I just felt like we ought to address because of things that are going on in the world. To me, it's an exciting time in the world. Really, it's in many ways a terrible time, but yet it's exciting because you can see so many things that's lining up, getting ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know we don't know what day He's coming. We understand all that. You heard that one man say that he knew exactly what day Jesus was coming. Did you hear about that? And we asked him how, and he said, it says in the Bible, in the day when you think not. He said, that's the day He's coming. So that's a good principle. But anyway, what I want to do is I spent that 1 week kind of talking to you about the Islam religion, and I'll explain in a moment why I did that, but I want to share with you what I understand. There is 1.3 billion Muslims in the world. 1.3 billion in the world. I just want to go back over, and it won't take me very long, just to read to you what I mentioned a couple weeks ago. Said Islam is presently the world's second largest religion. Of course, Christianity, and that's a great big banner that includes Catholics and everything under the Christian banner. They're considered the largest, but Muslim is the second. More than 65 nations in the world are Islam. Muslims constitute about 85% of the population of 32 countries. In the past 50 years, the Muslim population in Western Europe has grown from about 250,000 to nearly 20 million. The Muslim population of Europe will double by the year 2020 and will double yet again by 2035. There are more Muslims than Methodists and Baptists combined in the United Kingdom. Though there were only one mosque in England in 1945, there are now thousands. Hundreds of the buildings currently used for mosques were originally churches, including the church that sent well-known Christian missionary William Carey to India. More than 100 million Muslims live in India. The number of Islamic mosques in France mushroomed from only one in 1974 to thousands today. Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries are currently donating multiple tens of millions of dollars in the furtherance of Islam in the United States of America. One of the reasons that I think it's important that we understand what's going on is that the nations in the book of Ezekiel listed within the first six verses of chapter 38 are all Islam Muslim countries, possibly except Russia, who will be the one that leads that coalition of nations. They're Muslim countries. And the reason that's important is they hate Israel. And just think just for a moment. Why in the world is it that all over this world there is countries and people who hate Israel? It's just a little old country over there. We know the reason why that is. We know it's satanic inspired. We know because Satan hates God's people. And Israel, the Jews, are God's chosen people. Now, what I'm saying to you is that's important because, you know, you could pick out any nation across the world and say, why? Why doesn't everybody in the world hate that nation? You know, but it's not true. They hate Israel. They despise Israel. And the reason they do, you've got to understand, is because they are God's chosen people. And they hate them. They want to see Israel destroyed. This coalition of nations that's found in the book of Ezekiel, the 38th chapter. Let me just go ahead and read verses 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company, and bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, which we know is Iran, they changed the name from Persia to Iran many years ago. Ethiopia, probably that southern country down around, also including the country of Sudan. And Libya, which Libya is not as big now as it was in Bible times, so it may include those around Libya. And then all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all thy bands, the house of Togarmah, we're sure probably that is, it's out of the northern quarters, that's more than likely Turkey, and all his bands and many people with him. We just want you to notice that these nations that is listed here are Muslim nations. They hate Israel. We talked a couple weeks ago about the fact that they're looking for their Messiah. It's a false Messiah, but they think they have a Messiah that's going to come, and that this Messiah will not be able to come until Israel is destroyed. So you and I have got to understand something. This is serious business with them. To destroy Israel is their goal, to wipe it off the map. Now, one of the reasons they hate the United States so much is because the United States is Israel's friend. And even when they mention the destruction of Israel, they also speak of the destruction of America, the United States. Okay? They'll do anything they can to weaken the United States. I'll just take a moment. I'm just going to say this to you. I don't know your financial condition. I don't know how you do things at home. I don't know those things. But I want to encourage you to get your house in order. That's all I'm going to, I don't know how to say it. I'm just telling you, I know we live in troubled times. I know we live in difficult economic times. But you need to get your house in order. In America, there's this insatiable desire for things. Got to have this, got to have that, got to have it. I'm not talking about the things that are absolutely necessary to have. I'm talking about things that are not necessary to have. And that desire is everywhere across this nation. And if you know a little bit about it, you know that China is supporting or financing our wants. They have over $1 trillion of our debt. Now you got to understand this serious business. And I'm saying to you, time is coming. You and I need to be very, very careful because the dollar is losing value every day. And what that means is it's inflation is coming. What's going to cost you $2 today will cost you $3 and $4 down the road. That's basically what it's saying, okay? And if you'll see it anywhere, you don't have to take my word. Just look, watch, and the dollar is falling. Now, there may be some times when it raises some, but I'm saying to you, it's going to continue to fall because we are in debt. And they're printing money till you just can't believe it, and nothing to back that money up, okay? Now, I'm saying these things as just... As a warning for you. You may not help right now where you're at. Then do something to stabilize your lives and your financial condition. Do whatever you can do. And the main thing you can do is quit spending. You see, Mr. Obama is trying to teach us the way you get out of debt is to spend. You do not get out of debt by spending. And the American people are the greatest spenders in the world. because we're never satisfied. I'm just saying this to you. I don't know where you're at. I just say we're never satisfied with just the basic needs of life. We are taught by the Word of God that we're to be content with such things that we have in food and raiment. That should be our contentment. Okay? And we're going to pay for it. So I'm saying to you, I'm saying this in kindness. I'm just saying this in to encourage you. Please, please, please get your house in order. And get your financial house in order. Quit wanting so much. Okay? You and I don't need all the junk. We just don't need it. We just need to be satisfied and content with what God has given us. Amen? Now, this day that these nations are going to gather together, it's going to be a very large, large group of people, as we will show you in a moment. They are going to do everything they can to come down upon the mountains, the Bible says, of Israel, and they want to wipe Israel off of the map. They want to destroy her. And so the Muslims have no fear of death, because they're taught if they die in battle, they'll immediately be transported to paradise with a whole lot of benefits to go along with it. Foolishness. Absolute foolishness. They're lost. They do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and there's no way they can be saved unless they know Christ. He's the only way of heaven. There is none else. Amen. We're not saying we are better than them. I'm just saved. I know Christ, and they need Christ. That's who they need. And without him, they'll die and they'll spend an eternity in a devil's hell. You understand that? That's the Bible. That's the way God tells us in his word. So these countries hate Israel. We know also, I'm going to give you two verses in verse 8, first of all, of chapter 38. He says, after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. This is something that God does not tell us and pinpoint the time of this invasion. He doesn't pinpoint, and I understand why he doesn't do that. Because we don't know whether it's before the rapture, after the rapture. We are not sure. All he says is this, it's in the latter days. Look at verse 16. And he says also, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Once again, we just know this. It's going to be in the latter days. We know this. It has not happened yet. That battle that's described in chapter 38 has not happened. It's in the future. It's coming somewhere in the future. Okay? So we know that. Exactly the pinpoint date, I don't know. I don't know whether it's going to, I don't know for sure if it's going to come before the rapture. I don't know if it's going to come right after the rapture. I don't personally know, and I've done a lot of reading on this, and there isn't anybody else that I've ever found that knows for sure. They have speculation. They think about it. You may have speculation. You may think you know when that, but let me say to you, you don't know for sure, because we just don't know, okay? But we do know this. It is going to happen. Because the Bible says it's going to happen, and it is absolutely going to happen. So we know this. Now, it is, he gives us some times, evidences of when it's going to happen, and I'm not talking about dates, but in a time in Israel's condition. Look at verse number 8. Again, after many days thou shalt be visited, and in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. We know it's going to be a time when Israel feels safe. Now, what degree of safety that is, I do not know for sure, but I do know it's a time, he said, when they dwell safely. Look at verse number 11. And he says, And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go up to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. We know also, according to the scripture, once again he tells us it'll be a time when Israel feels safe. They feel like they do not have to have walls and bars and guarding themselves. We find also in verse number 12, he says, and take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Also, we find in verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? In other words, we know that it's going to be a time when Israel feels secure, feels safe. And believe me, don't think I'm trying to pinpoint something, but they would certainly feel safe if they had made a treaty with the Antichrist. We know that they would feel safe with that. I'm not saying that's when it is. I don't know when it is, but I'm saying something like that. Somewhere along the line, they feel safe on walled villages, and then this northern confederacy is going to come and attack them, which we will look at in a moment here. In verse number 6 again, says Gomer and all his bands and the house of Togarmah of the north quarters and all his bands and many people with thee. I just want you to take notice that this is going to be a massive invasion. He stresses the fact, and I feel comfortable in the first part of the verse 1 and 2 there. I don't think there's any doubt he's talking about the northern kingdom, and that Russia is that northern kingdom that's going to lead this and come down against Israel. But he says, notice again, he says that many people with thee. It isn't going to be just maybe even these countries that is listed here. There may be multitudes of others that come also with them. We find also in verse number 9, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Once again, and look at verse number 15. And he says, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Once again, he mentions the fact there's going to be many, many people with him. So this is going to be a massive, massive invasion of armies that come down to against Israel. Now, if you read back in the book of Revelation and you read about the time when the Battle of Armageddon happens, there's a lot of similarities, but I don't believe they could be the same. And the reason is because here it names some nations and who they are, and they come from the northern parts. Back in the book of Revelation, in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says that God draws them from the whole world. The whole world comes against Israel. In fact, as it finally ends up, they come to fight against the Son of God. But armies come from all over the whole world. So I don't think this battle is the same as the Battle of Armageddon. It's just different, But anyway, this is a massive, massive thing. So what I want to do is kind of go down through some of the scriptures here and just kind of describe what's going to happen in this. You say, Brother Ross, is that important to us? I believe it is, because I think we Americans better get ready. I think that God is showing us things that is happening in this old world, and that the coming of Jesus is soon. Now, I believe that. And I think he's warning us. You see, when it rains upon the just and the unjust alike. Just because we're Americans, just because we're Christians, we think sometimes we're not going to have to suffer. That's just not true. We have no guarantee of that whatsoever. We don't know what's going to happen here in the near future. So, but he does want us to get ready. At the same time, let me say this to you. You have a wonderful God who loves you dearly. And he wants to comfort you and encourage you. You are his child. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are his child. And that's where your trust and hope must be. Amen? And so don't get discouraged. God is in control. He loves us, and he will oversee these things. I just don't know what he's going to allow to happen, but I know this. He loves me, and he loves you. Amen? So don't ever forget that. Comfort yourself with those words. Jesus is coming again. Now, in verse, let me see here. In verse 4 in chapter 38. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now let me just say something to you. In the scripture, in the writing of the Word of God, he no way would have put down in this scripture, I want you to watch out for those tanks and machine guns that's going to be coming at you, and the airplanes. They wouldn't have had no understanding of what they was talking about whatsoever. So they write in words that is absolutely understandable in those days. But let me say something to you. It's very possible it may be horses. I don't know. You know, there's an interesting thing. I'm getting on a sidetrack, but there's an interesting thing that, have you ever heard about the EMP, which is the electromagnet pulse? Here's what I'm told. If you explode a nuclear weapon 300 miles above this earth, over the continental United States, it will absolutely fry every electric grid, computers, anything electronic. This country would go absolutely dark and cold, which would be true of any other country that was exploded over. And Russia knows about it. They know they have a capability of doing that. Iran certainly knows about it, wants a nuclear weapon very, very bad. But it could absolutely bring the United States of America to a stop. If a nation that was attacking, I'm just saying these things, a nation that was attacking Israel, if Israel would have exploded something like that over them, knowing they was coming for an attack, they might have to come on horses. They might have to use weapons like this. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know. All I know is they're coming, and they're coming to invade Israel, okay? So when it talks about the horses as a thing, remember this. They are using language that's understood in that day. But at the same time, it may be very literal. See? You understand what I'm saying? We don't know for sure, and I don't think there's anyone knows for sure, because that time has not come. Now, let's see here. In verse number 8, after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, thou shalt come unto the land that is brought back from the sword. You know what land that is. That's Israel. Israel's been brought back from the sword. She's been brought back to her land and is gathered out of many people. We know that. That's happening even today. The Israelites, there's multitudes. I can't remember for sure. Somebody may know, but I'm thinking there's now 5 to 6 million Jews in Israel. And does anybody know different on that? I know it's right around it, and that is just mushroomed. There are people coming from all over the world, gathering back into Israel. And it says, against and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. God tells us earlier that he's going to put a like a hook in a jaw. Now, you and I know that is not a literal hook in somebody's jaw, but it's a hook that God uses to entice these nations to come down against his people. But at the same time, and it just isn't God doing that, they have this evil thought. They have that wicked, evil thought, as they say there, and it will come to their mind to go and attack Israel and destroy Israel, okay? And he says, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go up to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And then it says, to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Let me say something to you. Israel is a wealthy nation, basically. And they are now, and within the last couple of years, they have found some oil reserves under Israel that are very, very substantial. And Israel itself is one of the smartest people that there is. You read some of the things that they've invented and they can do, it is amazing. And so what basically I'm saying is they are a nation that somewhere along the line is God is blessing and prospering, and they're going to want to come down also, not only to destroy Israel, but to take a spoil, to take what's there. I read here a while back that there is 6,600 millionaires in Israel. 6,600 millionaires, which tally up to billions and billions of dollars that they have just personal wealth. So Israel is not a poor, poor nation. And so they're going to come down not only because of their hatred for Israel, but also because of their wealth. That is there. And then it says Sheba and Dedan, and let me say to you what I believe. I believe Sheba and Dedan speaks of Saudi Arabia. That seems to be the nations there that it's including. They are going to not want this to happen. They're going to rise up against this along with Tarsus and the merchants of Tarsus with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? In other words, these group of nations, and there's a very good possibility that the Western nations is included in this in talking about Tarsus. Usually that's associated with maybe Spain, maybe England area, but then the young lions could very well include the United States of America, who were one of England's pups, and it could very well include the United States. But notice something. All they do is make a verbal accusation. What are you doing? You're going to bring spoil? It doesn't seem they're able to do anything else about it. Now, I'm just going to throw something at you. What would happen to the United States of America and its ability to do anything if the rapture happened right before this and all the Christians were gone? This United States of America would be put in chaos. You just imagine right now where you work, if all the Christians where you work was gone. It would go into chaos. I know there's a lot of people's not saved, but this whole nation, more than any other nation, would go into chaos because of the amount of Christians that's in the United States of America. So I'm saying here, they don't seem to have the ability to do anything about it. Whoever this is, this group of people, don't seem to have any military ability to do anything about it. They're just questioning, what are you doing? Okay? And then it says, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog. Now, Gog is the leader of Magog. Gog is the prince. He's the leader. Let's say Russia right now. I know this Putin is not the president, but I really think he is. He's in the background. I think he is president, only he's not. It's not his title. But the leader of Russia, whoever that was, would be the Gog. He would be the one leading. And so he says to, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the northern parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. We've already talked about the horses situation. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. You notice the amount of people here that's going to be involved in this. It's almost like a cloud that covers the land. It's going to be a massive invasion. And shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Once again, just real quickly, the purpose for all of this that God is doing, he gives us the purpose, is that he will be magnified. That is important in every situation. That's what needs to be done. God be magnified. And when this battle happens, and when God does what he is going to do in this battle, he will be magnified. Even in verse number 23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. See, when he gets done with this here, this group of nations, there's going to be no doubt who's in control and who is to be magnified. And of course, that is our wonderful God. Look over in verse 7. It says, and I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Now that was in chapter 39. I didn't tell you that, but that was verse 7 in chapter 39. And look at verse 13. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. Look at verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day and forward. See, there's no doubt about it. When this is all done, they're going to know who's God. And he'll be the one to be honored and glorified. And what time is it? Okay, got a couple more minutes. But anyway, we'll go back then to chapter 38 and read here in verse number 15. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company, a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against the land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass, the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. You know, I don't have time because we're just out of time, but they're going to meet God, and they're going to meet his fury. You know, we think of God, and he certainly is a loving, wonderful, precious God, but he's also a God of judgment. And he's not going to allow his nation that he brought together and has protected all of these years, he's not going to allow them to be destroyed. He's going to intervene. The armies of the world can't do anything about it, but let me guarantee you, God can. Amen. Father, thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness, and thank you that you are the true, the living God, and only you should be magnified and honored. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.